Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to reach the world again. Coming back into your homes, wherever that you're at. This is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, reaching the world for Christ. So our subject tonight is, this is the victory that overcometh the world. So even our faith. So, you know, God is so good to us that he give us the victory tonight that we can overcome the world through him. And so I just praise God for it. So if you want to be a part of this service tonight, why, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Call in and we'll put you right on the line with us there. We'll just worship the Lord in spirit and truth and just have a great time in the Lord. So as I said there a while ago, the subject is this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so, you know, it takes faith tonight for us to be able to overcome the world. So, you know, we've got to have faith tonight to be able, praise God, to even touch the Lord. You know, the scripture tells us there that Hebrews there, 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, it takes faith to move mountains. And so, praise God, tonight, by God's help, we're going to be obedient to God. Hallelujah. So I've got a couple of call-ins here, so I want to go ahead and see who you are there. 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Yeah, this is Brother Green in Springboro, Ohio, and Sister Joanna Green. And we're just listening in here and glad to be on the program.
Praise the Lord. Well, get ready there in a minute, brother, and we'll let you go there. We got another 937. Well, praise the Lord, that one there hung up, so I guess that must have been both
that,
your
that
numbers.
Was us.
Okay.
Yeah, we wasn't
all
sure
right.
This phone was connecting us.
Yeah, it worked tonight, praise God. Hallelujah. So
that was us. That other caller was us on the cell phone. We wanted to make sure we got in.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you and both got in there tonight. So praise the Lord. If anybody want to call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you on the line with us here. So, Brother Green, you're Sister Green one. Just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, Brother Yearwood. I don't have a whole lot tonight, but we'll see what we can do here. You know, this is the victory. It overcometh the world. Let me get the scripture here. In 1 John chapter 5, let me start with verse 1. It says, whosoever abideth or believeth, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the scripture tonight, I believe, these two scriptures that we're preaching on. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And I want to read a little more here. It says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Praise God. I thank God tonight that I'm believing in the one that can make me an overcomer. And that one that I'm believing in tonight is Jesus Christ. And I thank God that the Bible says over in John, 1 John 4 and 15, says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So tonight we must have our faith. If we're going to have the kind of faith that Brother Yearwood was talking about just a little while ago, the Bible gives us many examples in the Word of God there in Hebrews chapter 11, how that by faith they overcame. And these people didn't really know Jesus like we do today. They didn't have the full Word of God like we have today, but they had faith in God, and they believed that there was one to come, and that he was going to bruise the serpent's head, and he would be the seed of the woman, praise God, and that by believing that he was coming, they were justified by faith, and having faith in God, they kept, like Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he would rather go with the children of God. He would rather join them that had been slaves for 400 years over there in Egypt than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, if he would have been decided to stay in Pharaoh's house, and he would not have endured the afflictions and things that he did, but he was looking to one that he could not see. He believed in a God that he could not see. He was believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you know, he was hid in the bulrushes there when he was a baby, and because they saw that he was a proper child, that he had a you know, I don't know how they knew it. I don't know if they knew it by prophecy or that God had told them that he was going to be somebody special, but they hid him in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And when he grew up and became of age, he went out and he saw his brethren there, and they were working in hard bondage and labor for the king. Old Pharaoh had them in bondage there for 400 years, and had treated them ill-favored, treated them bad, and had put hard bondage on them, and they were making bricks and building his cities. And Moses went out, and he seen problems there, and one of the Egyptians was mistreating one of the slaves, and he killed got into it with him and killed that Egyptian, hid him in the sand. But he had to run and flee into the backside of the desert, because Pharaoh would have taken his life. But, you know, there on the backside of that desert, he found God on the side of the mountain one day. He saw a bush burning, and he went up to that bush, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and God told him to go back to Egypt and confront Pharaoh. And he said, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You know, Moses could have said, no, I'm not going to do it, God. You're going to have to get somebody else. But, you know, I believe he waited in the balance. I believe he thought on it and pondered a while, and he said, I've only got one choice to make it, and that's to serve God. And, you know, that's the way it is today with you and I. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And, you know, this is the record. The Bible says over here in John, 1 John 5:11, it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You know, there's just one way to overcome this world, and that is that we must be hid in Christ. We must have that eternal life that the Bible's talking about, and that life is only found in Christ Jesus. If we're not in Christ, we do not have that eternal life. But if we have Christ, we have that eternal life. It said, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Praise God. You know, we've got to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. If we're going to be an overcomer, we have to believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and that we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe here that the Bible is teaching you and I that we must walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Moses was a walking by faith, and he was on the backside of that desert. He was back there to escape the wrath of Pharaoh. But when he met God there on the mountainside, God put a boldness in him, and he went back and confronted Pharaoh. And I tell you, when we get born again, really, truly born again, you know, we'll confront the world. We'll begin to say Jesus is the Son of God. And we'll begin to say that he died for our sins, that, you know, he paid the price that we could never pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe. But we owe a debt that we cannot pay, and we begin to tell the world that we are sons and daughters of God, that we've been born of the Spirit of God. And you see, this is what makes us an overcomer. We must have enough, might say, gumption, or enough faith, or enough willpower to confront the world and say, I've quit the ways of the world. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I came out of the world. I'm not no longer joined with the sinner world. The world lieth in sin, the Bible said, and we cannot be partakers with the world. We cannot eat at the devil's table and eat at the Lord's table and still be justified by God. We must depart from that wicked way, and we must come out from the world and be separate, as the Lord has said, that we might be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, God separated the children of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt, and they walked through that desert, and he fed them for 40 years. He gave them manna from heaven, and he supplied every need, and there was nothing lacking that they needed. You know, they murmured, and they complained, and they spoke against Moses, did many things that they shouldn't have done, but God still fed them the manna. He still gave them the water from the rock. And the Bible said that they drank of that rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, today, if you're not drinking of that rock, if you're not drinking that living water that's a coming out of that rock, I know we can't see that rock today, but we're walking by faith and not by sight. But
amen.
One day when it's all over, when this old world is over and everything is has winded up and the judgment day comes, I'll tell you, we'll be, those that have accepted Christ will be rejoicing, and they'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. They'll be rejoicing in the presence of God, and they'll go to enter in to that good place that God has provided for them. And we'll make it if we'll keep confessing Jesus as our personal Savior. We'll turn from the ways of the world, and we'll go to God instead of trying to lean on everything that the world has to offer and try to dabble in anything that the world tries to entice us with. You know, I heard a preacher the other day. He was preaching on the pit, how people get over there close to the pit. They begin to look into that pit. You know, he was preaching how David had said that the Lord had brought him out of a horrible pit and had established his goings. You know, God did that to you and I when he saved us. And I'm talking tonight
Amen.
To those that are born again out there in the radio land. When the Lord saved us, he brought us out of a horrible pit, and he set our feet upon a solid rock, and he established our goings. And he put a new song in our heart, a song to glorify God and to give God the glory. Praise God. And I tell you, when they crossed out of Egypt that day, they began to sing, and God parted the waters, and they came across on dry land. And I believe it was Miriam took a cymbal and began to sing, and the women began to follow her, and they began to dance and sing and glorify God because God had brought them out of Egypt. I wonder how the old king felt when Moses come. Him and Aaron walked up there to his big palace and stood and said, "Let my people go." I said, we've met with God. And he probably said, "I don't see your God. Where's he at?" He probably said, "I can see my gods. They're here all around me. All these statues and things that I've made. But where's your God? And do you have an army?" He probably said, "Do you have an army? Well, why should I let you go? Why should I turn all these 6 million, somewhere around there, 6 million, I don't know how many they were, but a multitude of slaves that he was using to do his work and to prosper his kingdom." And he probably said, "Why should I let you go?" He probably said, your God, what's he? Well, where is your God at? We've had these people slaves for 400 years, and I ain't seen no sign of your God. But I tell you, when God gets tired of what is going on in this world, I'll tell you, he's going to make a change, and he's
Amen.
Going to bring his people out, praise God. And this old world is going to pass away, the Bible said, with a great heat. It's going to melt with a fervent heat, the elements and everything that's in it. And I tell you, we're going to have a new heaven. We're going to have a new earth. And the Bible said, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And everybody's not going because everybody's not got that faith that overcometh the world. But I tell you, you can get it. And you'll have to get it down on your knees or in a prayer room somewhere or at an altar at a church somewhere. Maybe by your bedside, you get down. You begin to pray, and you begin to call on God, and you begin to repent of your sins and tell the Lord, "I'll do anything you want me to do, Lord. Whatever you say, I'll do it, Lord, and I'll obey you to the best of my ability." And I'll tell you what, God will give you some ability to obey him with. He'll give you strength, and he'll give you power. He gave Moses power on the backside of that desert. Moses went up there to that burning bush, and God began to speak to Moses. He said, "Take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground." I tell you, we need to take off some things. We need to put on the righteousness of God, and we need to take off the world. We need to lay aside the things that hinder us from coming to God and the things that's hindering us from obeying God. We need to get the insulation out of our life that's separating us from God. Many people have things that's insulating them from coming to God, and it's insulating them from God to be able to speak to them. Praise God. But I tell you, I don't know where Sister Green's at right now, but she's trying to get something together, I believe. She had to work today. But I'll tell you, we have victory tonight, Brother Yearwood.
Yes,
and
we
our
do.
Victory is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He's the way, the truth, the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. In 1 John 5:20, it says here, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, you can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. And you can't have the Father if you don't receive the Son. The Bible said right. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he came into his own. He came to the Jewish nation. When he talked to the woman at the well, he said, salvation is of the Jews. And she said, the Jews have no, they have no dealings with the Samaritans. And why are you talking to me? But you see, Jesus, that God so loved the world in John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He gave them an opportunity, the Jewish nation, he gave them an opportunity to accept him as their Savior and their King, but they didn't do it. And they crucified the Lord of glory, and they put him on the cross, and they did everything they could to him to try to make him blaspheme and deny that he was not the Son of God. But, you know, he couldn't do that. He was the Son of God. He was the one sent down here to pay the price for you and I. And whosoever will can come today and take the water of life freely. There is no man, woman, boy, or girl in any nation, any nationality, that is exempt from the grace of God. They can become Amen. A child of God. They can have eternal life. They can be born again by the Spirit of God if they'll come to Jesus. And I think Rachel has a scripture here, and I'm going to let her read it.
Okay.
Let's see here. I didn't have time right here, Rachel. Read this right here. Praise God.
Let's Praise see. The Lord.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are
sanctified
by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, you call
and called. I thank God, Brother Yearwood, tonight that, you know, we're sanctified by God the Father, and we're preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And, you know, many have been called, the Bible said, but few are chosen. You know, there's going to come a day when people will stand before God, and God's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and he's going to put the sheep on his right hand, but the goats he's going to put on the left hand. And those on the right hand are going in to that beautiful country that God has prepared for them. And I just thank God that we're, as long as we stay in Christ, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. And we're sanctified by God the Father and by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're purified by faith. And that's what we're preaching on tonight, how that faith, you know, you quoted that scripture, read it a little while ago. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. I can't quote it exactly. But, you know, it says to us that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I'll turn it here to Sister Joanna and let her say something.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Good to be with you tonight. Is that okay, Brother Yearwood, or do you got some more callers you want to acknowledge?
Well, let me get this one other caller in there. It's Brother John. Then find out what he's doing, and we'll get you right back in there to obey the Lord.
Sounds good. Take your time, brother.
770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother John from Thompson, Georgia.
Okay, we're glad you called in there, brother. So we'll get you there in a few minutes. Let's let Sister Joanna go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Yeah.
Praise God. Good to be with y'all tonight, and sure appreciate this here radio broadcast. Appreciate everyone that does something here like this for the Lord, the dedication. I tell you, this has been a great revival that we've been listening in every night. Praise the Lord that God's given us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, there's nothing that I would rather do than accept right here what we're doing. And I appreciate the Lord.
Amen.
I want to start out in Revelations. We're talking about the victory that overcome the world, I believe, is how the topic goes tonight, or the subject. And I was thinking about in Revelations chapter 7, starting there, and let's start in about verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessed and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. Praise God. And I'll stop right there, and thought about over in Revelations in chapter 20, verse 4, says, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Praise God. And Brother Yearwood, I thought right there, you know, and to the churches, the seven churches of Asia that John the Revelator was given, praise God, to give the message, praise the Lord, to the seven churches there, and how the Lord had found fault. And I know I mention this a lot, but you know, in the 20 years that I've been saved, the Lord always brings me to Revelations. And I tell you, I know we're not supposed to have a favorite book, or however the whole counsel of God is what we should be our favorite, from all the way from the very beginning very beginning when you look what page that the books of the Bibles are, all the way through your Bible, clear back to the maps, ought to be our favorite. And that is, but God always took me to Revelations to study that out and to search that out. And you know, when he's talking to the seven churches of Asia, he told them, each one of them, there was five of them that he had found fault with, and he told them to be overcomers. He said, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And I was thinking here in how the Bible talks about the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says, I am come they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. In John 10:10, he talks about how the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy, how he goes to and fro. And in John 3:3, he says, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it sounds like here in Revelations that I just read to you, that these here folks, they had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they did not take the image of the beast. They did not worship the beast. They were overcomers by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb.
And that's what we must do, to have victory over this world. The Bible talks about there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but in the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs 14 and 12. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's talking to every one of us. And we must be born again, what I told you a while ago. We must come to a place where we repent, and we must believe in Jesus Christ. You know, that's our first step right there. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. Praise the Lord. For wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. But God commandeth his love toward us. Praise the Lord that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. So we need to accept Jesus. That's the only way we could get in. He's the only door. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And that's found in Timothy 2 and 5. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. So we've got a promise here that if we accept him, and that we, with that Brother Green just here quoted to you a while ago, that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we could have a wonderful life right here. We could have an abundant life with the Lord. Praise God. And that was his reasonable way when he came to die on the cross. You know, Peter kind of rebuked Jesus there, and he didn't want him to go because he loved Jesus. But, you know, Peter didn't see the whole picture. He didn't see why Jesus needed to come, and he needed to be that sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. He was the Paschal Lamb. I think I'm saying it right, Paschal Lamb. Praise the Lord. He's the only one that had no spot, no blemish. He was pure. Praise the Lord. God is so good, and I want you to receive him tonight. It's as simple as that. Paul said that it's the simplicity of the gospel. He said, I didn't come to you with enticing words, praise the Lord, but he came to you that you would understand, and he wrote the letters and to the epistles to the churches that even a child could understand, praise the Lord. And, you know, when the children wanted to come to Jesus and the disciples were trying to shoo him away, and my paraphrasing, Jesus said to suffer not the children to come unto me, that such is the kingdom of heaven, that we must come humble as a child. Praise the Lord. It's that simple. When my children were little, they understood as a child, but praise God, when they got older, they put away the childish things. Praise the Lord. But they understood salvation, Brother Yearwood. I remember my daughter sitting under the pew talking to her cousin and telling her cousin, saying, Missy said, you know what, Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. He wants to come in. And I think she might have been about, I'm not kidding you, she must have been almost 4 years old. And my cousin at that time, she was about 7 years old, and she went home that night, and she told her mamma, she said, you know what Amy told me, Jesus is knocking at my door. And said, mamma, I've never let him come in. And my aunt said to her, said, honey, we need to pray. You ready to pray now? And little girl laid down, knelt at her bedside, and she prayed for the Lord to come into her heart. But I wanted to tell you, a child, 4 and a half years old, she's something like that, telling a 7-year-old that Jesus is knocking at her heart's door. Praise the Lord. My son at 5 years old came up in a prayer line, and you know, and the pastor says, you know, what do you want, Jeffrey? And Jeffrey says, I want to get saved. I want Jesus to save me. These are children I'm talking about. And you know, when my other daughter, Rachel, that just read to you tonight, she's 10 right now, when she was about almost 3 years old and the pastor was having a baptism, and she says, Mommy, she says, I want to be baptized. I said, Rachel, have you went to the altar? Have you asked Jesus into your life? She said, no, not yet, Mom. And so she did that night, and I believe the next day, or it might have been a morning service, and she gave her heart to the Lord so she can be baptized. I tell you, children understand this, and the adults surely can understand this. Praise God. You know, what would you give to exchange for your soul? Would you take the whole world? You know, I'm not saying that right, but what would you give in exchange for your soul? Praise the Lord. There's nothing on this earth worth losing your soul over. Just give Amen. Your heart to him right now. Praise God. And I don't want to take any more time. And if, Brother Yearwood, if you need us later, we'll be right here, Brother. And we're praying for you. And then we're going to sit back and enjoy the rest of the message. And we just love y'all. And like I said, if you need us for anything, we're right here.
Okay. Appreciate it. Well, we'll play a song, or then we'll get Brother John in there to obey the Lord there then. Let's see which one is. Praise the Lord. We'll find it here in just a minute, Brother John. And
all
we'll
right.
play this song. Then we'll get you to obey the Lord there.
All
Praise
right. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise him.
I follow close behind the one who's led me all the way. He watches o'er his tender flock with vision undivided, providing everything I need with mercy every day. The shepherd leads the sheep along this winding, narrow road. Through grassy fields and shady pastures by the river's flow. I'm not driven down this path I trod, I follow him by choice. I don't need to see the way ahead, I only need to hear the shepherd's voice. Quiet, peaceful tones with love and compassion, charting every step I take. I know I'm in his care. Though the path grows dark and dim, I'll follow his direction. I may not know what lies ahead, but I know he will be there. I only need to hear the shepherd's voice. I don't need to see the way ahead. I only need to hear the shepherd's
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song. So, Sister Joanna?
Yeah, she's on her way, Brother Yearwood. She was over there.
Okay,
on the
I just want to say, just watch out for the prayer request there for us, because we don't have no way to watch out for them. We've got some down here. We won't be turned in directly, but if anybody emailed us any NY, I appreciate it if you would catch them there for us.
Okay,
so,
you talking about on Facebook?
Yeah, on Facebook or however they come in there to you.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord there, brother.
Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate the opportunity to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak his word. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 6 that the words he's speaking to us tonight, church, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. They will give us eternal life. And tonight we are talking about the victory that overcomes the world. And amen. And as Brother Green read it out, amen, it is our faith. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just a faith, but it is a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our belief, our persuasion is fully. Amen. And talking about it, Sister Joanna brought out, amen, out of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. You know, we use different things for different overcomings. And as Brother Green brought out, amen, faith is one of the avenues that we use to bring victory, to overcome the world. And then Sister Green brought out that in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 that they overcame the accuser. You know, the Bible speaks of that the false accuser accused the brethren, accused the believers night and day before the Lord. Amen. Now, you have to know he's a false accuser. Amen. Even as they falsely accused Christ. You know, the Jews had a law that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. No one was ever taken before the law without the at least two witnesses out of the mouth of one witness. It could not be, amen, delivered up, to, amen, to the magistrates. And we have to understand, amen, as even as they delivered the Lord Jesus Christ up, they had false witnesses and false accusers, and they couldn't even agree with the witness. But it came to a time because, see, this was destined, as Brother Green brought out, this was destined, amen. God had a plan to redeem, amen, man back to himself, amen. And that plan was the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And tonight we are talking about victory, amen, and we are talking about overcoming, hallelujah. And the Bible speaks of, amen, thinking about, amen, and as Brother Tim, we're just singing that song. You know, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, we have to hear the shepherd's voice tonight, amen, and it's a sad thing, amen, but some are not going to ever hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will never become the sheep, amen, and humble themselves under the sight of God. There was a time, amen, when amen, that they had even declared that we would not have this man rule over us. Hallelujah. Some even declared, amen, and did not know, amen, who he was. They began to declare, say, is this not Joseph's son, amen, and are not his brethren among us, amen. But tonight you need to know that Jesus Christ was more than the son of a carpenter, more than a carpenter himself. He come from glory in his origin, amen, came from heaven. You know, they began, even his disciples began, and he talked about, in John chapter 16, he talked about, in verse 27, he said, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. You know, this was at the walk, this was far into the story, as he began to walk with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together, except they be agreed, amen. And hallelujah, we need to know tonight, how long and how far have you walked, amen. And not only how long have and far have you walked, but how long has it been, amen. And you know what, the whole time you could have walked in victory. Tonight, amen, they just got over with the games, the Olympic Games, amen. And people would go for the gold and the silver and the bronze, amen. They would go, amen, for the mastery, for amen, that which would be corrupt. But tonight we're striving, amen, for a gold that is incorruptible. He told them in the book of Revelation, buy me gold tried in a fire. Oh, his gold, his grace, his gold, his mercy, his gold is everything that's in this book. Hallelujah, because it's been tried in a fire. Amen. And the Bible says, as Sister Green was speaking about the fine linen, amen, to them that overcome, you need to know, he said, buy of me white raiment, which is the righteousness of the saints. Church, we don't just get that anywhere. We have to have the wedding garments on. This invitation is to us. We are the bride of Christ, and the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the government's upon his shoulders, the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6. We need to know that there is a dominion and authority. The Bible says in Genesis that man was given dominion and authority over the beast, amen, and over all the fowls of the air, amen, and the fishes of the sea. We have been given dominion and authority and power. Tonight we're speaking in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to question him, amen, because he was not of the tribe of Levi, but was of the tribe of Judah, amen, that he would speak in the synagogue or speak in the temple. But hallelujah, and they questioned him by whose authority. And when he asked them, amen, a question, he said, I will answer you if you answer this question. John's baptism, talking about John the Baptist, was it from men or from heaven? Hallelujah, and they could not answer because they know that the people perceived him as a prophet. Hallelujah, and they also knew, amen, if we say of heaven, they'll question why. Amen, they said, we cannot tell you. He said, neither do I tell you, amen, because you cannot answer me. You need to know tonight that he said in John 16, verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Amen. And just like Brother Green brought out, what overcomes the world? Our faith in this one called Jesus. He said, again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He came to the world, but the world did not know him. He came into his own in John chapter 1, but his own received him not. He came into a world that was created by him, but they didn't know the Creator. They didn't know the Maker. You need to know tonight that nothing was made. You were not made. You were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. You were a created work. You are a created being. Amen. That God the Father, amen, has created you. Amen. And wants to quicken you. Amen. We speak about in 1 Corinthians, it talks about a first Adam, which was Adam in the Garden of Eden, and a second Adam, amen, which is a quickening spirit. Amen, a resurrected Christ. But you need to know tonight as we are in this revival and hearing the good reports all over the world coming in, tonight you need to receive and be in revival. David said, revive us again, O Lord. Tonight you need to be revived. The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians somewhere around 4 verse 16, I believe it is. That might not be the right verse in Scripture, I believe it is. But anyhow, if that's not, you can read your Bibles and turn to it. Whatever is there, it'll be good. Amen. But the Bible says that the outward man perish, but the inner man is renewed day by day. Church, this is a day of renewal for you. This is a day of awakening for you. This is a resurrection, the Bible says. Hallelujah, that this is the day that the Lord hath made. You need to know something tonight, and you need to shout and rejoice, because God didn't need a day. He made this day for you. This day was made for you when the sun came up today. Hallelujah, well, that was a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, amen, out of the Father's house, amen, and beckoning one more day tonight. The Bible speaks of in Matthew 25. It gives us a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Amen. They all had the lamps. The Bible speaks of, amen, the commandments of the Father being the lamp and the law of the mother being the light. Church tonight, you have to have the light with the lamp. It's not enough just to have the lamp. Many people are secured in their own security and their salvation having a lamp. Let me tell you something tonight. The lamp will not be enough. You have to have the light. Hallelujah. And that light is Jesus Christ. You need to know tonight. He talked about as his disciples walked with him. In verse 29, he said, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverbs. Speak, in other words, don't speak a parable anymore. The Bible says, they even asked him in a time before, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, because to you they're known to be the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, they do not know the mysteries of the kingdom. They didn't know this Christ. They didn't know, amen, the revelation, amen, and the vision, amen, that he was speaking of. He said, now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Now we know. How long did they walk with him? How long did they talk with him? Church, tonight, how long have you walked with him? Tonight, all believers all across the world, according to the scriptures where you've already been given, the 7 churches of Asia, the individuals in the churches, amen. We've talked about overcoming. We talked about overcoming by, amen, just like I said, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, amen. and they love not their life to the death. Those were the three things in Revelation 12. Brother Green spoke about faith that overcomes the world, overcomes the cosmos. Hallelujah. And so you need to know tonight, these are things, these are weapons of warfare that are not carnal. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 10, or it might be 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds. Pulling down the strongholds of the strong man, amen, and what? Casting down everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That's what Satan did. He said, I'll set my throne above the stars of the north. Amen, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. These are of the world and not of the Father. They are to be bound, amen, underneath the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They were found in the garden. Amen. Even as Eve began to see that the tree was good. In other words, she had the lust of the eye. And when, amen, it tasted it, that her eyes would be open, she had the lust of the flesh. And amen, that her eyes would be open and she would be as God. Amen. And that was the pride of life. But you need to know tonight that God will, amen, will humble us. Amen. If we'll humble ourselves in the sight of God, amen, he will highly exalt you. The Bible says in Proverbs, humility before honor. Tonight, God will make you a vessel of honor. For the Bible says, in a great house, there are vessels of wood, vessels of stubble, and vessels of gold and silver. But just tonight, you need to know it's not the vessels themselves, but it's what's in the vessels that makes it a vessel of honor. Amen. Tonight, it doesn't make difference where you come from or where you live, but it's what's on the inside. Do you have the Spirit of the Lord? Do you have the precious Holy Ghost tonight living down on the inside of you? Amen. Hallelujah. And even as Sister Green was speaking about these children coming unto to the Lord Jesus Christ and giving their lives and humbling themselves, the Bible says, except you come as a little child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. He sent them because they, even the disciples, began to be, excuse me, begin to argue among themselves as of them. These were the foundation. These were the apostles. And they began to begin to discuss who was the greatest among them. Amen. And he began to set a young child between them. And he said, except you humble yourself and become as a little child. Church, tonight, you want to be exalted, just humble yourself. If you want to be, if you want to be honored tonight, amen, just humility, humble yourself under the hand of God, and he shall highly exalt you. The Bible says, humble yourself, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I believe that's James chapter 4, verse 7. Amen, and hallelujah. We need to know tonight. But he said, Jesus said in John 16, 31, Jesus asked them, do you now believe? Do you now believe that he is the Christ? Do you now believe that he's come forth from the Father? How long has he been with you? How long has he walked with you? Not only that, church, but tonight, according to the Word of God, there's only one way for a believer to live, and that's in victory. There's only one way for a believer to live, and that's to be an overcomer. The Bible says that we are made more than conquerors. Tonight, I don't care where you're going through. The Bible says in Romans that neither height nor depth, the Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, amen, nor things to come, church, shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Tonight we can only have the victory. As believers, we have never lost. You have to understand that we live on the winning side. We're abiding in a winning head. We have not lost, amen, not one victory, amen. We are undefeated foe. We are on the Lord's side, and we are victorious tonight. Oh, hallelujah, we serve an omnipotent God, omniscient God, an all-knowing God. He said, behold, verse 32, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I want to tell you something tonight. God the Father initiated, no man left behind. Hallelujah. God the Father himself, amen, initiated, no man left behind. I know, amen, here in America, amen, our Marines and our SEALs and our military, amen, have a thing not to leave their ones behind. But church, there's an army of the living God tonight. And amen, that we go, amen, if you're part of that army, if you endure this the harness of a good soldier of the Lord. You need to know tonight that God's army will not leave not one soldier behind. Amen. In fact, I serve a God tonight that will go back and get his enemy. He'll go back and kill his enemy. I serve a God tonight that as a Samaritan came and saw this man who fell among thieves on the road to Jericho, amen, and scattered, amen, and when the priest come by, oh, the righteous man of the temple came by. He went by on the other side. He didn't want to get around that man who had fell among thieves. He didn't want to get around that man who had been touched and been stripped and been buried and been beaten on. Amen. And then the Levi come by. Amen. He that was working in the temple. Amen. This righteous man, hallelujah, had served in the temple. But because he wasn't in the temple to be seen by others, he also went by on the other side. Church, we don't need to have a church that is not having the victory, but the priest went by on the other side. The Levi went by on the other side. But here comes the Samaritan, this man being a Jew that was laying there. Amen. They had no dealings with one another. Amen. They were in the natural. They were enemies. But you know what? When that Samaritan came, he didn't look at his nationality. He didn't look at his ethnic. He didn't look at his race, but he saw a man who was lame, who had fell among thieves. Hallelujah. And he picked him up, and the Bible says he put him on his own beast. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs 18:24. Amen. To have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Hallelujah. And tonight, amen, that Samaritan put him on his own beast, carried him to the end, put him up in a room, poured in oil in the ointment, amen, in his wounds, amen, and paid for his room. Hallelujah. Not only did that, he said, if I owe you anymore, I'm going to come back and make sure the debt. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ who will pay your sin debt. But tonight, you need to know something. The Bible says, I believe it's in Matthew 25 and verse 41, to those that you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. He said, amen, because at the end, there's Brother Tim spoke about the sheep. In Matthew 25, there's going to be a reckoning day, and those on the left will be the goats. Those are the ones that when they saw the Lord, amen, sick and amen, they didn't visit him. When they saw him in prison, they didn't encourage him. When they saw him hungry, they didn't feed him. When they saw him thirsty, they didn't give him a drink. Amen. But those on the right side will be the sheep, because those that they, when they come, they saw that one thirsty. When they saw the Lord thirsty, they gave him drink. When they saw him hungry, they gave him something to eat. When they saw him naked, they clothed him. When they saw him in prison, they came and visited him and encouraged him that he would be delivered out of that place, out of that captivity. Amen. And when they come, amen, in the evening after, said, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? He said, as much as you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. I'm reminded of a story, man, of a king one time that come and really wanted to know how his subject really felt about him. And every day he would go in through his kingdom, amen, robed in his kingly attire. But one day, amen, he decided, amen, to go among his people. You know, there's times that God is feared. The Bible speaks of in Luke chapter, amen, later on in the book of Luke, amen, it talks about, amen, that he appeared unto them in another form to the believers in the midst. They had been at the cross. They had knew Jesus, but he appeared unto them, the scripture said, in another form, and they didn't know who he was walking with. Tonight, church, some of you might, underneath this animal, you don't know who you've been walking with. Christ has appeared unto you into another form, not something that you're used to. Amen. You don't know that you've been walking in victory. You don't know that you've been walking with an overcomer. You don't know that you've been walking with a conqueror. Amen. Because tonight, amen, according to the word of God, the believers only have one thing. They only have the victory. The believers tonight, the only thing they are overcomers. They're not underachievers. They're not the tail. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, I make you the head and not the tail. I make you above only and not beneath. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. You need to know tonight that he'll open up the churches of heaven. Oh, you can only receive good tonight. You can only receive the victory tonight. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, amen, but going back to the story about the king. So he changed his garments. came in and as he changed his garments, he had the garments of a beggar. He went among his subjects, amen, and he went to their house, and he would ask for a drink or ask for food, and of course, amen, every day he'd come before them, and they would bow down before him and tell him how great he was, and praise them with their mouth, and say, "O King, live forever." But when he came in his beggarly garments and disguised himself, "Oh, get out of here, beggar. We don't want you. Get out of here, beggar. We don't want to have anything to do. Go someplace else." And he went through this through his city and through his kingdom and every day. But at the end of the way there, amen, there was a house. And this young little girl, much like little Sister Rachel, amen, come. And the king come as a beggar. Amen. And she lived with her grandfather in the story. Amen. And they come. Amen. And they come. And he asked her for a drink, and she said, "Grandfather, let's get him a drink." Amen. And they had, it even had a decree, a law in that thing, not to take in any strangers or take in any beggars. And, amen, hallelujah. But she took him in. Amen. They fed him and drank him. She by the urgency of the young girl, her grandfather took me. He said, "You know, amen." And they fed him. Next day he left. He come, amen. And so, hallelujah, 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 amen, hallelujah. When he left there, he said, "Look into my eyes." You know, the Bible says the eyes of the light of the soul. When that beggar left, he said, "Look into my eyes." Hallelujah. And he come and he went back. Amen. The next day he come back out in his kingly garments. He come by. He went to those same huts. He went to those same houses. Oh, today they were bowing down. Today they were praising him. Today they were worshiping when he had his kingly garments on. He said, "No." He said, "Tomorrow I was here. Yesterday I was here as a beggar, and you turned me away." And he went down there, and he got down to the end of the street. Amen. And the grandfather looked, and here comes the king coming. And he told his granddaughter, "See, I told you we shouldn't have took in that beggar yesterday. I told you we shouldn't have received him. I told you we shouldn't have fed him. I told him that we shouldn't have let him stay the night." And to come there, and the king got out of his chariot. He come down, and he bent down, and he said, "Honey, remember these eyes?" He said, "Yesterday they were a beggar, but today they're your king. Tomorrow, yesterday, the eyes of the beggar that you've seen, but tomorrow they might be King Jesus." Hallelujah. Tonight you need to look into their eyes. And the Bible says, amen, hallelujah, going to 2 Samuel chapter 23. The Bible says 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. Hallelujah. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tekemite, that sat in the seat, keep among the captains. The same was Adio, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aharonite, one of three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand, this one man, until his hand was weary, and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. They returned after this one man. God had wrought a victory. Church, it takes one man and one God to give you the victory. It takes one man and one God who hung on the cross to give you the victory tonight. The blood of the Lamb will give you the victory when you've been falsely accused. The Bible says, "No weapon formed against thee shall prosper," and Isaiah 54:17, "And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord." This is your inheritance tonight, church. Amen. And he fought the victory until his hand was weary, and he couldn't lay up his sword. Church, tonight, you know what? We need to fight the battle, and you know what? It's time for us to hold on to the sword of the Spirit. It's time to fight the victory that we can know. We can't even get to the place where we cannot even let go of the sword, let go of the Word of God. And God will write a great victory. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. Here comes the Philistine army. All the people fled, except for one man. Brother Green, this reminds me of you. This man reminds me of you, a man of God who stands his ground, a man of God, amen, not only you, but also Brother Ewood, men of God that have stood their ground when all others were left. I know by the Spirit of God that there's been times that, Brother Ewood, you've been left alone, like the Apostle Paul. Brother Green, I know there's times because of what you believed in, you've been left alone, and the people fleed. Amen. It seemed to the enemy come in there, but you stood your ground. Verse 12, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. What was it? It was just a little ground full of lentils. Just a little ground, but it was his ground. Church, tonight it's time for you to stand your ground and let God bring the victory in your life, because it's your ground. It's holy ground. It's holy ground tonight. Amen. That piece of ground didn't mean anything to anybody but Shema. You know what? That piece of ground that you live in, the piece of ground where we walk, he said he'll give you everywhere you place your feet tonight. Amen. And the Bible said that David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. They were in his home. The enemy was in his home. Oh, church, let him that steals steal no more. It's time for us to get the strong man out of your house. It's time for us to get the strong man out of your homes. It's time for us to get the strong man out of your cities. It's time for us to get the strong man out of your loved ones. Come on, church. Bible says that I've given to you the keys of the kingdom of Matthew chapter 16. That whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Church, we can't lose tonight. We can't lose tonight. All we can have is the victory. As believers, we can't lose. We can't lose. We can't even lose against death tonight. It's really been swallowed up. The Bible says in Isaiah 25:8, death swallowed up in victory. Whose victory? There is victory when he hung on the cross. Amen. When death embraced him for those 3 days, he could only hold on to him for 3 days. He couldn't hold on him any longer. On the morning of the third day, death had to let him go. The Bible says that he had the keys to Hades and Thanatos, death and hell. Amen? And so the Bible says, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew off. Verse 16, out of the well of Bethlehem, that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it there. He poured it out unto the Lord. You know, last night we were speaking about God's pouring out his Spirit upon us. And here David is pouring out his drink unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Bible says, by my God shall I run through a tree, and by my God shall I leap over a wall. Whosoever, these three men just went to go to a whole troop of Philistines that were in Bethlehem just to get a water. He longed for a drink of water. He longed for a thirst. And you know what? They brought that cup of water back to the king. Oh, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. They brought that cup of water back to King David. But in the fact is, it ended up in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Tonight, church, we've been given the victory. The Bible says, I'm going to go one more place in the scripture, and I'm going to get back to Brother Ewan, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There's not an inheritance. That which is corrupt cannot inherit that which is not corrupt. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're going to be transformed. Amen. But we shall all be changed. Everyone is going to be changed. If we are asleep in Christ, we're going to be changed. If we're alive, when he comes back, we're going to be changed. Church, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for my change, just like Job said. Oh, change is coming. We used to sing that song, change is coming. Church, right now, everyone in the east and the sound of my voice, change is coming. You've got the victory. You need to live in victory. If you're not living in victory tonight, if you're not living as an overcomer, then you're not living the life of Christ. He said, I've come, just as Sister Green brought out, I was kind of that you might have life and that more abundantly. There's an abundant life. He's talking about eternal life. We don't have just hope in this life. The thing about believers, this is just the first one. The one after this is eternal. This earthly tabernacle that we have to live in, it's going to perish. It's going to die one way or another. It's going to be changed. Flesh and blood. This is flesh and blood. But you know what? It's the spirit tonight. We're born again. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those that are dead in Christ, resurrecting power, oh, they'll no longer be corrupt anymore, because it's not flesh and blood. There's a change. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Those of you, amen, that will live forever, will become immortal. Hallelujah. Not only will become immortal, you'll put on immortality there in verse 53. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. I already gave that to you in Isaiah 25 and 8. Death is swallowed up in victory. What's the victory? Even our faith. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross and said it is finished, even death was swallowed up at that time. The Bible says the believers shall not taste death. Why? Because God swallowed up death in his victory. The Lord Jesus Christ swallowed up death in victory at the cross of Calvary when he said it's finished. The Bible says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Church, he takes away the sting of death. When the serpents came in, the fiery serpents, amen, and they had come against it against the Lord and against Moses, he allowed the fiery serpents to come in. They bit them. And then he had to raise up a brazen serpent, the Hushatan. And everyone that looked upon the serpent, amen, would live. Church, tonight, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Christ was lifted up on the cross at Calvary and gone off. He said, for I be lifted up, the Son of Man. So if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When you look upon the cross tonight, it'll take away the sting of death. When you look upon the cross tonight, you'll know that your death has been swallowed up in the victory at Christ. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in one who hung on the cross and died for 3 days, but he arose again. And we've been begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Have you been bitten by sin tonight? God has an antidote. It's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given the victory. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to struggle for it. Jesus said, here, it's finished. I've given it to you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Where would you want to go? What did he tell the disciples? Will you also go away? He said, except ye eat my blood and drink my blood and eat my flesh, ye have no part of me. And at that time, many began to fall away. Not knowing, not having that revelation, like Sister Green said, not having that vision, not having that understanding of the Word of God. Church, you need to know tonight, 1 Corinthians 2:14, I believe it is, the natural man discerns the things of the natural man and the spiritual things. These are spirit and life. This is spiritually discerned. You can't, if you have a carnal mind tonight, you can't understand not a bit of this. Carnal mind is enmity against the things of God. These are the things of God we're speaking about tonight. This is the victory of God we're talking about tonight. This is the victory. Yeah, this man hung on the cross. He was beaten. The Bible says his vision was so marred they couldn't even recognize him. He took on stripes. He was scourged. He was beat. He was pierced. There was a threefold witness on the earth. Even the centurion said, truly, when he died and the bread and the water and the spirit came forth, you know what the centurion said that was guarding the Roman city? Truly, this was the Son of God. He had a revelation at the foot of the cross. Church tonight, do you have a revelation? Do you have a revelation that you're the victor? The victor, you're on the winning side tonight? If you get on the Lord's side, you're on the winning side. You read the beginning and the end. He knows from the end. But the Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because you got the victory in that church. It's time for you to start living victorious. And it's time for you to give your life to Jesus Christ, because the sting of death is gone if you give your life. Greater love hath no man than this, than lay down his life for a friend. This is the victory, and God has given it to you tonight. Will you receive it? Will you receive the gold? Amen. People all across there's three people that look to stand on that stand in the Olympics, but you know what? Amen. It'll be another 4 years before they come in the winter, but you know what? Tomorrow I'll have the victory again, and I'll wear the God's gold, and it can't be corrupted, and it won't be rust, because at the end of the way, all of his gold has been tried in the fire, and it will not be punished, because he's given me the victory. How about you tonight? Thanks be to God. Go ahead, Billy Hewitt.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Brother John. That's great, powerful words there. So I appreciate each and everything that everybody said or done on here tonight. I mean, it's really been good. So we're going to play another song here, and before I start there. Appreciate that wonderful song there. We was in a church service somewhere, I can't remember this whereabouts, but Tim sung that song, and people was really blessed by it. So just thank God. I hope and pray that you was blessed by it there tonight. So we're going to turn in our prayer request at this time, and we'll pray for them or go wait a little bit later on. But we'll just go ahead and turn our prayer request in right now. Praise the Lord.
Let's remember John's grandson that has two types of cancer. Let's remember his other grandson that has a disease. Kevin Miller's mother has lung cancer. Remember her. She needs a miracle. Mary Hobbs. Laura McKnight needs a healing. A man by the name of John is having surgery. A boy has asthmatic bronchitis. Dolores Garcia is having trouble with her job. And her mother-in-law, Martha Garcia, has had her surgery, and she's in a lot of pain, so remember her. And remember Sister Debbie Samples tonight. And remember this revival that's going on this week through March the 4th. And Martha and Roy Sexton need healing. Keith Green, Fred Brennan, Daisy, David Keller, they all have cancer and they need a miracle. And let's continue to pray for the Pastor Saeed that is in Iran prison. He's in there for saying he's a Christian, so let's remember his family, his wife and two small children. And let's remember the Clark family, the Massengale family, and the McDonald family that have lost their loved ones this week.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate this. You've heard them requests. So, Brother John, do you have any requests?
Just pretty much covered the ones I was going to give tonight. I do want to give a praise report to one of the Mary Hot that we prayed for last night. She was in that, like I said, accident. She hit her arm, but the cut's just nothing, and she's not in pain anymore. So I want to praise the Lord. She had talked to me tonight and told me to tell us on the broadcast, tell everyone on the broadcast that their prayers, you know, were answered, that God lifted her up, brought her out of that. So I just wanted to give that praise report for her.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's just like our God, ain't it? Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Brother, Sister Green, you have any requests or anything?
Yeah, Brother Yearwood. On Facebook here it says Tanya Mullins Green. She says, pray for her lost loved ones. Marie Harper says, please pray for her. She needs prayer really bad. Our pastor's wife turned in a prayer request. She says, Merle and I have an unspoken request. And she said she'll be tuning in tonight. Lodima Stike Leather says, pray for peace in the world. So we know that the Bible says there's not going to be peace until that thousand-year reign with the Lord. So the only peace we have is in Him. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that all of them?
Yeah, remember all the ones also for Tuesday night. We had put it on Facebook. We didn't get to do it last night. There was a whole bunch. I'm scrolling to that now, Brother Yearwood, on my computer.
Okay. All right. You want to call them off?
Yep, I'm getting to it right now. The computer is just a little slow.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I've got another one, Brother Yearwood. I do have one. There's a Sister Beverly in Alabama that has asked us to pray for agreement that in favor of that God would give her favor with this gentleman. And I don't know. Also, feel to remember, I don't know. I know Sister Gladys had spoke about one night this week about them needing favor with their bank, so let's just remember her too and lift that up.
Okay.
Okay, I have him here, Brother Yearwood.
All right.
Danielle Rogers says, remember her family. Jerry Bowen says, say a prayer for his mother. She's pretty sick. She has the flu. Tim Hall says to pray for him and Sister Frida. They need a spiritual, physical, and financial miracle. Patty Love says to keep her children in prayer. Also, pray for her mom. I got a prayer request last night from her. She's been feeling dizzy. So she went through a triple bypass surgery here a few years ago. So, you know, the devil would like to try to make you worry. So remember her. Her name is Sister Ethel Graham. Remember her. Deborah Smith says that she's praising the Lord because her daughter, that's 19 years old, is still with them. I guess she's not able to do things on her own, but she had been having seizures all of her life. Jerry Bowens also remember, he says again, to remember his family that suffers with seizures also. And Dolores Garcia says pray for her husband and herself, and also pray for her mother-in-law that she doesn't have to go through surgery. Laura McKnight says still pray about the loan situation that she wants to get approved for, and I believe that today was the final date that she should have heard an answer from that, so that's going to help her financial if that goes through. Praise the Lord. John Grisby says pray for his little son named Junior. Also, Gladys, Sister Gladys Dittmer, that's usually with us, she says to pray for their son, Brian. He has asthmatic bronchitis, and pray about that. Sam Moyer says to pray that she had a job interview, I guess this past Monday, and she hasn't heard anything yet, so she wants to find favor with them. Arlene Harrison says pray for her a cousin, Collie, that they're both having health problems, her brother and Collie's brother, I think it is. And Sarah Littrell says a special request. She wants us to pray for our nation, also our men and women in service. And then Kim, the last one, Kim Hargrove Adams says pray for her family and is in need in prayer, needs a fast and strong move of God in their home and in their family. God knows all about it, and she thanks us all for our prayers. So back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, praise the Lord. Let's just take these prayer requests all to the Lord then and just ask him to move upon them. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come in agreement right now, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would just touch these prayer requests. Lord, that you will move, God, upon each and every one of them, Father. Lord, that you will move. You know how to work, God. Lord, you know what they need. Father, we just speak it, God. Lord, we call these things, Lord, if they wouldn't, they would be, Father. And, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for all of it. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for answering the request. Lord, we thank you for the one that you've done answered. And, Lord, we praise you for the one that you're fixing to answer. And, Lord, we give you the glory and the honor for each and every one of us. And, God, we ask you, Lord, that you save the lost, God, sanctify and fill with the Holy Ghost. Lord, that soul that is so near to hell, God, we ask you, Lord, that you snatch it back. And, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for that. And, God, we just ask you, Lord, of them that's sick and afflicted, Lord, we pray that you will touch them. And, Lord, that you will set them free, God. Lord, that you will heal their bodies from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for it all. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I want to say that tomorrow night our subject is going to be this. There's something about that name. You know, there's something about the name of Jesus. You know, praise God. Everything is done or said or anything, it's got to be done through the name of Jesus. And I just praise God for that. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight. I know Brother Green done read some of this, but I feel led kind of to read. Not that I'm trying to go over Brother Green or not trying to be any better than him or nothing. I don't think we'll speak the same words. I think that God has given us our own messages and our own words, and so we just have to kind of obey God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, I heard this one time, I tell this for the glory of God, this preacher, I went to this several years ago. He done gone on to be with the Lord, but he always preached, and all the time he ever preached, I never did hear him preach nothing but the out of Jude. And, you know, Jude's a great big Bible chapter there, just one page. And he always preached out of Jude. So I never thought nothing about it, and the Lord laid on my heart one time to preach it. So I preached it, and when I got done preaching, he come over to me, and he said, "Brother," he said, "you preach my message tonight." So, you know, I don't feel like that this word is anybody's message but the Lord Jesus Christ. So whoever speaks it, you know, that's what God has done. And so I just praise God for it. So tonight in the 1 John, the 5th chapter, and starting in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot love him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love him." "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." You know, praise God, God is telling us to keep his commandments. You know, in the 14th chapter of St. John over there, he says, "If anybody love me, you know," he said, "keep my commandments." And, you know, we take God's word and we start reading God's word. God is commanding us to take his word and believe upon it. And, you know, as we speak tonight, we're speaking about this is the faith, the victory that overcometh the world. And, you know, my friend, it takes faith tonight to believe. It takes faith tonight to know that you are saved. You know, we've got to believe tonight if we want to overcome the world. We've got to accept what does says God. And we've got to know that, just like he said over there. I said it there a while ago in the first of the service, Hebrews 11 and 1 there. It said, "Now faith is a subject of hope, hope for, and things not seen, and the evidence." Oh, praise God, hallelujah. I've done messed up on it. Praise God, hallelujah. "Faith is the subject of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You know, praise God, we've got to have that faith to know that we are a child of the King. We've got to have that faith to know that we have accepted him as our personal Savior. If we don't have that faith, my friend, then we're in trouble. We'll just be just speaking words. I don't mean a thing. But praise God, I'm glad tonight to know that whenever if we are believers, you can feel the Spirit of God bearing witness with you whenever you say that I'm a child of the King. You feel the presence of God. You'll feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost dwelling down in you. Start rising up. It'll start coming forth. It will start coming out. Just like the Word said, that in our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. In our inner beams, praise God, if we're believers, whenever we speak these words, Jesus said, "These words that I speak are not mine, but my Father who sent me." Praise God, tonight, these words that we speak tonight, they're not ours, hallelujah, because we found them in the 66 books. We found them out of the 66 books of the King James Version. We're going to accept what this word says. We're going to accept what God said, and if he said it, I believe it, and that settles it as far as I'm concerned. Whatever God said in his word, I may not understand every word. I don't claim to understand every word, but I do claim that I believe every single word from Genesis in the beginning until the end of Revelation 22nd chapter and the last verse. Then where it says, amen. I believe every word of it, praise God, because God said it. Jesus told Satan over there, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And as far as I'm concerned, hallelujah, these 66 books, they come out of the mouth of God. They come out of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because God said that his word was expired upon the men of the old by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He sent his word to heal them that were sick and afflicted. He sent his word to raise them up. My friend, tonight we're sending the word of God out across this airwaves to touch you, to touch your soul, to raise you up. If you will take heed to the word that you've done heard, to the words that you're going to hear on this broadcast tonight, my friend, you can get stirred up. You can get your soul set on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. Something, hallelujah, that will stir you up, and something that will get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I tell you what, it's a time that people start seeking out the old path and start walking therein, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. I tell you what, this world, it don't have nothing but Satan out here to try to destroy your mind, to try to destroy your life. But praise God, God has power tonight. He said, whatever we bind on earth, will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. It's time that God's children start loosing the power of the Holy Ghost upon this world, hallelujah, and we can get something done, hallelujah. God will do something, my friend, if we will come into agreement with him, hallelujah. Let's look into verse 3 there. Praise God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment is not grievous. Praise God. Or not grievous. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, his word, his commandment tonight is not grievous. But his commandment tonight, praise God, is the love of God. Hallelujah. Let's look down into the fourth verse. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. You know, I was speaking there a while ago about the faith. I tell you, it takes faith tonight, my friend, according to the word of God, for us to overcome this world. It's going to take faith tonight for us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm glad tonight to know, I praise God, no doubt in my mind whatsoever, that Jesus is the Son of God. No doubt in my mind that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, praise God, and he walked for 33 and a half years here on this earth before he was crucified, and before he went into the heavens, my friend, he come back from the dead, as Brother John and them brought forth there a while ago. The third day he risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, he walked here on this earth for 40 days after that. Then they seen him, hallelujah, walking here, and he talked to his disciples, and he went up. Praise God, I'm glad that they left us a record that when he went up, there was a great cloud come down and took him up. back to the Father. And the two are standing there looking at him as he went up. And there was an angel, I believe, come to him and said, why are you men of Galilee standing here looking up? This same Jesus, hallelujah, that went up, he's going to return again in like matter. He's going to come back again just like he went away. My friend, there's going to be a time one day after a while, as we was reading last night, we don't know the time of the hour that he's going to come back, but we do know one thing. The word said he would be back, and he's going to come back, and he does tell us that his time will not be held. But whenever that time comes, when God the Father tell him to go back and to get his own, he's going to come back. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to come back, praise God, and we will, them that is alive and remaining shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, called up forever to be with him. I'm looking forward for that day myself. I know, praise God, that one day after a while, if we are still alive, we're going to hear that great trumpet. It's going to sound, and there's going to be a holler, praise God, he's going to make a noise, and everybody's going to hear it, and them that dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that is still alive and remaining shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, to called up forever, to be with the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. We'll be able to overcome this world then. This is our faith, hallelujah, that I'm talking about, hallelujah. Praise God, our faith that's in Christ Jesus. We'll see that we walk down the streets of gold. Our faith will see that we are made whole, hallelujah. That one day after a while, praise God, that we'll make heaven our home. I'm looking forward for that myself. I know there's a lot of times the troubles might come our way, but praise God, we got victory over our troubles if we will look to Jesus, hallelujah. If we will look to to our Savior, he's standing there with his hands all outstretched, waiting for us to call upon him, and he will hear, and he will answer. Praise God, I know, because he's answered a lot of times for me, and I've heard testimonies this week how God has moved, how he's raised them up, how that he raised that one sister up who was telling us about their last night that was on life support machine. But yesterday morning, she come alive, hallelujah. She come back, and she's doing great as far as we know at this present time. God has done a work, hallelujah. I know, praise God, there was another one down there in Dalton. That's been a few years back. This lady was on a life support machine, and her husband, he was looking for her to just be dead any time. He was looking that when he went to the hospital, that they would tell her that that she'd passed on, or looking that they would call him on the phone and tell him that they would pass on. But praise God, that next morning he went to the hospital, and he found her sitting in a chair, done dressed up, done with her clothes on, sitting there waiting. Whenever he come in, he said, what you doing? And she said, I'm sitting here. I'm ready to go home. And when her lifetime he seen her, she was on the life support machine. But praise God, God brought her out of there, and she went home. She lived for several months. But she's gone on now to be with the Lord. But praise God, I'm telling you, God is still God. He's still working miracles. He's still calling these things those ain't as they would be. I just believe that Jesus sets up our just looking for us to run out of a space to go to. Whenever we have done put all of our trust in the doctors and not knocking doctors and not coming against them because God has given them the wisdom and the knowledge to do what they do. But whenever Jesus says, just like the woman that had the 12 years of issue of blood, I don't know why I'm going this way, but God knows that had the 12 years of issue of blood, and she said, if I could only press through, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she pressed through that crowd that night or that day, and she touched the hem of his garment, and praise God, Jesus turned about. I can just imagine him turning around. See, she had done spent all she had, and only growing worse. That was the only thing was going wrong. She was doing bad, but praise God, she had victory, and that she overcome it because she touched the hem of his garment, because she touched the hem of his garment, and praise God, and he turned, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said to him, said, "Lord, there's a crowd here." And you asked, "Who touched ye?" I said, "Anyone could have touched ye." But he said, "Yeah, but there was one touched me. I felt a virtue. I felt a healing go out of my body." And praise God, she told him that she was the one that done it. And Jesus told her, he said, "You go and be made whole. Your faith has made you whole." Hallelujah. Today, my friend, whenever the doctors have shut their head and they said, "We've done all that we can do," then it's time that we look to the Almighty. It's time then that we look to Jesus and we look to him. Praise God, he will do something. I believe Jesus is still healing people. I believe he's still calling people out that is sick and afflicted. I believe he's still making them whole. I believe that. I preach that. I'll stand on that because God's word declares by these stripes we are healed. Praise God, we can have victory tonight if we'll only have our faith and our trust in the Almighty. If we will look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, my friend, God will reach down. He will touch us if we'll just put our faith where it ought to be. We put our faith in action. Praise God, we need to know that whenever we ask him for something, he's going to do it. I praise God tonight because I know that I know that whenever we call upon his name, he will hear and he will answer. I tell you what, praise God, I just thank God because he is a God that hears and answers. I want to tell you this. Praise God, I know you all know that I've been going through some health problems, but you know, the doctor's been running tests and everything they find, they're just saying, "Well, there's nothing concerning your heart. I've got to go this Wednesday, I believe it is, on the 5th. I'm going to be walking the treadmill. But I believe that when I come off from there, they're going to have to stand and shake their head and say there's nothing wrong with your heart because I believe God. I believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, like the word said. Praise God, I diligently seek him. I believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe he hears. I believe he answers. I believe he gives you your heart desire. I tell you what, I don't believe any of us about to be sick to go. I believe whenever it comes our time, our days are up, I believe he can just speak the word and we can go without any pain, without any suffering. I believe Brother John mentioned it there tonight, that the death has been taken. The Lord took the stain out of death when he went to the cross. My friend, whenever he was there in the tomb, I believe he took the stain from death, and he brought the keys back with him. He done defeated Satan, and all we've got to do is just still declare his word and still stand on his promises and still keep his commandments. We'll keep his commandments. My friend, we'll make heaven our home. That's what I'm looking for one day. After a while, I'm looking, hallelujah, to go through the kingdom. I'm looking one day after a while to walk through them swinging gates, them doors or whatever. Jesus said, I am the door and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that we can go through Jesus, that we can know, that we know, hallelujah, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm so thankful tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll read verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. Praise God. This is he that came by water and blood and Jesus Christ, not, let's see, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, to know that, praise God, this is what God said, and he made it clear to us, praise God, that, hallelujah. I just thank God tonight for his word. I praise him for this revival. I praise him for everything that's been said or done in this revival. I believe that God has reached out. I believe he's touched people around the world. I believe that people have been touched and been blessed. I'd like for you to just email us and tell us about it, what God's done for you and how he's touched you, how he's blessed you. You know, this is not just Lloyd Yearwood. Praise God. It's not just Brother John Samples or Brother Clint Green or Sister Joanne Green, but this is the word of our Father. This is the word of our elder brother that we've each one has spoken, and the Sister Gladys and all the others has been on here and spoke the words of God. This is not our words, but this is his words. And I'm so thankful, praise God, tonight that we can look and that we can say that we've said the words, and we don't have to lay down and feel like we've come up short, because we have been obedient, because we're being obedient to this revival now. We're doing things today, hallelujah, that they people have never heard of. But praise God, I'm glad tonight that God spoke to us and told us to have this internet revival, because God is going to open up doors, hallelujah, to people that will obey him, to people that will take heed and hear his voice. You know, Jesus, oh, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and strangers they'll not follow. And the Lord has spoke to us, and we've heard his voice. I praise God for that. Hallelujah. I see that we've got about 6 minutes left, and so I'm going to give all of you an opportunity to obey the Lord, tell the church's announcements and whatever you want to do there. Just go ahead there, Brother Green.
Praise the Lord. We go to Heavenly Highway Tabernacle. It's 5990, that's 5990, Michael Road, West Middletown, Ohio. And the services are Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. And we just really would enjoy you here if you're anywhere in the
I guess it would be Southwest Ohio area, you're sure welcome to come.
Praise the Lord. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Go ahead and tell your church announcement, whatever you want to do there.
Praise the Lord. We just appreciate the opportunity. I'm pastor of Zion Tabernacle, 114 East Main Street, Thomaston, Georgia. We're about 75 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. And we have services on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock right now, and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And we'll be changing everything in the next few weeks, but we just want to invite you, if you're in the area, amen, to come and be with us. And a lot of things going on, a lot of excitement going on, and God has given us the victory. We do thank the Lord for that. And just some exciting things, what God's doing in our lives. And we just want to share with you and just come and just worship the Lord with us in spirit and truth. And we just appreciate what the Lord is doing, amen, and the opportunity to be a part of this revival. This is a true revival. You know, we talked about Azusa Street. We talked about, you know, I was privileged to be what they call the Siberian Express, not the cold snap that we've been suffering, but back in, I just want to thank the Lord, you know, that his promises are yea and amen. You know, God spoke to me in the mid-60s and told me I'd be speaking in other countries, preaching in other countries at that time, and then he spoke to me again in the 70s, and amen. And so I'm speaking to somebody here tonight, and he spoke to me again in the 80s, but in the 70s, he told me I'd be speaking in other countries. And in the 80s, though, he began to speak distinct countries that I would be preaching in, and also not only me, but my wife also. In the 1982, he spoke to us about March of 1982, and he spoke to us about certain countries we were preaching in. And then in the mid-90s, I got to go to Canada and throughout Canada, part of that Siberian Express and a great revival and outpouring of the Spirit in Canada. And then we went to Mexico in 1994, me and my wife both, and preached throughout Mexico, and God had an opportunity. But these still weren't the countries that he had spoke to me distinctly. And then it wasn't until 2012 where he began to speak into the country that he had initially spoken to me in 1960. So talking about almost 50 years of his first promise of I speaking to other countries, and then it was actually about 30-some years or 40 years that I actually got to speak in other countries physically and go visit them and be a part of that country. But then it was almost 50 years from the time he initially spoke to me. So I appreciate that he is faithful to his promise, and he's done exactly what he said he would do in my life. So I just want to give God glory for that and be a part. I'm privileged to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the company, with the laborers, with Brother Sister Green and Sister Gladys. And, you know, let's pray for Brother Eddie Bolton and Brother, you know, Brother Lloyd, Sister Betty, and Brother Tim. You know, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity to be with a part of this revival.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you part of this revival. Sister Green, you need to tell your broadcast coming on there tonight.
Praise the Lord. Starting here in about 2 hours, you're more than welcome, all that's listening, and, of course, the panelists that have called in tonight with you, Brother Yearwood. Definitely call, be with us at 10 p.m. It's the Macedonian call. You can go there by going to blogtalkradio.com/ the Macedonian call around the globe. And we start live at 10 p.m. And you're welcome to call in. The phone number there is, what is the phone number? 347-989-8862. And I'm doing that off of memory. Praise the Lord. So you're welcome to be with us. And our subject tonight is on mercy.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So we'll be talking to you then at 10 o'clock, Lord's when it don't happen. So we're going to go off by this song by the Branham family.
I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. No matter what the devil's throws at me, I know what to do. I call upon the name of the Lord. I hold out my shield and sword. Satan, you can't stop me now, cause I'm going through.
The preacher talked about victory with God's children. across the Red Sea. And they walked across on dry land, Pharaoh's army drowned in the deep. By the time he finished preaching, it was plain to see that God delivered those before him. Do the same for me. I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. No matter what the devil throws at me, I know what to do. I call upon the name of the Lord. I hold out my shield and sword. Satan, you can't stop me now, cause I'm going through.
If you're going through a fiery trial,
you don't know how to pray, just turn your eyes toward heaven and ask the Lord today. He'll fill you with his power. Just trust him and believe.
Oh, you put a song down in your heart
that you can sing with me. Through. No matter what the devil throws at me, I know what to do. I call upon the name of the Lord. I hold out my shield and sword. Satan, you can't stop me now, cause I'm going through. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. No matter what the devil throws at me, I know what to do. I call upon the name of the Lord. I hold out my shield and sword. Satan, you can't stop me now, cause I'm going through. I call upon the name of the Lord. I hold out my shield and sword. Satan, you can't stop me now, cause I'm going through.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. And so, God bless you, and we'll be talking to you at 10 o'clock tonight, Lord's willing. Don't happen.
God bless. God bless.
God bless.